In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, last week we heard Jesus say these words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Those are important words from Jesus. In fact, that verse is repeated again as the first words for our text for today. They are important words because they are sweet promises from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With these sweet words, He is giving us hope to otherwise hopeless lives. He is giving the answer that we need to save us from certain eternal death. When Jesus says He is the bread of life, He is saying that He is what God provides for us for what we need spiritually. We will never spiritually hunger or thirst if we believe in Jesus and believe in His promises. So these words of Jesus are pure gift. They are pure promise. They are gospel. They are for our good. They are like a rescuer to a lost hiker or a rainstorm to a forest fire. Jesus gives us these words, maybe the most beautiful promise that we could ever hear, the most important words that we could ever listen to. However, not everyone appreciated what Jesus said. Not everyone found what Jesus had to say as the most profound word of promise or the sweetest message that they had ever heard. In fact, some of those hearing Jesus say these very things become downright indignant at what Jesus said. Now, isn't that something? The exact same words, which are the sweetest, most beautiful message, are the exact same words that make some upset and angry and indignant. But I suppose that's no surprise, is it? It's always been that way. It's pure joy for us, 40 or 50 of us this morning, to have gathered around this morning for the exact same purpose, that we all came to sit here to listen to the Word of God. If you peel back everything that we do here this morning, down to the root, that is ultimately why we are here, to listen to the Word of God. We sing praises to Him, we pray to Him, we confess our faith, but first and foremost, we've come here to receive, we've come to receive the Word of God. To hear the promises of Jesus, to receive eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And although 40 or so of us are gathered here this morning to do this, how many are not here? I suppose some are gathered in other churches, but think about the thousands in our area alone that have decided not to gather around the Word of God today. I suppose there's any number of reasons, but part of the reason, we can at least say that they don't value the word of Jesus as a sweet and wonderful promise because they don't understand their spiritual plight. Jesus said, "It isn't the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." It's only when someone first realizes how they would stand before God if on their own, in their sins, in their transgressions, before a God that demands justice. It isn't until we understand that sin brought death into the world and that we all die because we're sinners, it's then and only then that we could ever understand the value of the gifts and promises that Jesus brings us. As we read in the gospel lesson for today, whom Jesus is dealing with are the Jews. They were the ones who knew about the messianic promises, and they were looking for Him. You see, these weren't the Gentiles who thought nothing of God. The Jews worshipped God, and they were looking for someone to save them, the one that God would send. They were waiting for God to deliver to them that salvation. So why were the Jews grumbling against Jesus? Let's see what the text says. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" You see, the Jews knew God would bring salvation, but the thing they couldn't go for is that it was through this man named Jesus. They couldn't grasp that God would save them through a man named Jesus because, after all, he was just a man. They knew his parents, after all. If God is going to bring us some kind of a spiritual, eternal blessing, it wouldn't come by some messenger sent from Mary and Joseph. It would come from some messenger sent down from heaven. Maybe an angel descending from the sky in a cloud, or a commander riding in on a horse. But Jesus seemed just a bit too humble, a bit too human. He didn't seem like the salvation-winning, death-defeating type. They were all about God providing salvation, but couldn't see that God would provide salvation this way. God gave them Jesus as the means by which he would deliver them, but it wasn't the means of salvation they accepted. And actually, I think John is very intentional with the word he uses to describe this. It says that the Jews grumbled about him. Because if you remember from last week, and it comes up again in this week's text, the context in which Jesus is speaking about all of this is as a comparative to Israel getting manna from heaven while they were in the wilderness. That God provided for their physical needs in the wilderness with bread that was just delivered out for them. And having given this bread, what did those in the wilderness do? They grumbled. And now that God has provided them Jesus, the bread from heaven, who comes with the promise that whoever believes in me should never hunger or thirst again, what do? They grumble. Why? Because this man can't be the God that is providing for them. After all, this is just a man. We know he was born of a woman. And that, dear saints, is the grumbling that you make as well. Maybe not about the person of Jesus, but the way God provides for you spiritually, the way that he's granting to you what you really need and sustaining you with the faith seems all too ordinary. Wouldn't it be better if Sunday after Sunday you took time to come down to church and you saw amazing miracles performed before your very eyes? That you'd come maybe with your aches and your pains and your diseases and your problems, and you'd go home with no problems at all. Or maybe whenever you had some financial problems, you could say a certain prayer and then check your bank account, and everything would be just fine. But the way that God gives it to us is far more ordinary and mundane than that. You come here to a somewhat normal-looking building, and you meet other people who have flaws and are dealing with problems of their own, and you sit in some rather comfortable pews, and you listen to a rather underwhelming pastor who's a sinner himself. There's no pyrotechnics, there's no special effects. It all seems rather humdrum and monotonous. And the average person might call this mundane or even boring. No first-time visitor goes home telling their neighbors, "I finally found the church that sings all my favorite hymns." No matter how dull it may seem to the world, if you believe in the promises of God, if you could see with spiritual eyes what is actually going on here, then there is quite literally no other place in the world you would rather be. For it's at this place that Jesus promised to be for you, for your good, for what you really need, the forgiveness of your sins. The word read from the lectern a moment ago are not the words of some ancient myth. They are the words of a holy and righteous God, the place where salvation comes. God adopts us as his heavenly children right at that font where he places word with water together. That for any of us, that is the new birth of eternal life. And when you come to this altar, it's not just bread and wine that you receive. It's the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine. And Jesus gives it to you for the forgiveness of sins. It's easy to grumble. Sometimes we become a little complacent. We go through the motions because, after all, we've always done it that way. And we forget what is actually going on here. Why it is we actually come. We grumble because we don't like the hymns that we sing. Or we grumble because things at church aren't going the way that we want them to go. Or because we don't like the wine that we use for communion. And in all of our grumblings, we sometimes miss out on the sweet, sweet promises of Jesus. That if we could see with our spiritual eyes what is really going on, we would realize that Jesus is here to give us something that we need so desperately. So desperately, in fact, that without it, we are lost and condemned. That God is granting us what we really, truly need right here in a place that is nothing to write home about. If we can't wrap our minds around the fact that God is giving us eternal life and salvation through something as simple as water, or the voice box of a sinner, or the simplicity of bread and wine, if we can't wrap our minds around that, how will we ever grasp the reality of a man bloody and gory, scourged and crucified, being the death of a God in your place? How will we ever grasp that death defeats death, that the sinless dies for the sinner, that the wicked would be named righteous? But so it is. God makes himself, who knew no sin, to become sin for us in the person of Jesus. And that Jesus, who offered himself as a sacrifice for your sin unto death, is risen from the dead. And that Jesus is here for you today, for your salvation. That's what's going on here. That's what you're doing here, and that's what he's doing here, forgiving all your sins. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.